Morning. All right, let's just do some quick announcement. I get an echo up here. Yeah. That better? All right. The first announcement I heard was when I walked in here is Ernie and Dale's grandchildren have finally gone home. So I don't have much in the way of detail.
Yay!
Andy, you always say the right things. So I imagine that everything's okay with them. Anything else that I'd be thinking of would probably be primarily in the announcements. I guess the next thing coming up would be Vacation Bible School. I'm looking for it here now. See it. Other than that, I guess I'll pass it on to the worship team. Begin our prayers of worship.
Good morning. I'm going to start this morning by reading Psalm 95. This portion. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. And that is our prayer today and every day, that we would just be still and listen for the Lord's voice. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you with praise and worship in our hearts this morning. We pray that you would be with us by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would today, Lord, be in our hearts, and that our souls would cry out to you, that you would fill us with your love by your Holy Spirit, from the inside out, so that we can share your light to everyone around us.
Please be seated. Just want to pray a blessing over our tithes and offerings, and we pray that you can put them to good use as we return just a small portion of your wondrous blessing to us. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Are we going to have a children's home? Yeah. All right. Can I ask the children to come forward as Russ goes here?
I don't think
he's going to. So, what's coming up again this week?
No school.
School is coming to an end. Back in the day, my brother used to watch a show called Rocket Ship 7 with Commander Tom. Let's see if you guys nodding. Okay. And they played a song, usually at this time of the year. So I'm going to play it for you.
September, this whole
But you know what? I was thinking that
That was September, because Rosh Hashanah was going off the air, and the Munsters, I think, were coming on for the summer. And but with God, with Jesus, we don't have no time off. Okay? He has a way. If we have a need, or we need something to help us, we need something bothering us, or we need something, we want to pray, Jesus isn't gone until September. He's always there. Okay? So remember that. Even though school ends and things end, and holidays happen, Jesus is always there for us to pray to and to talk to. Okay? Are we going downstairs? Is there anything going downstairs? Okay, we are going downstairs. Okay. Before we answer this prayer, dear Jesus, thank you for looking after us every day and all year long. We pray that you care for us and look after our families. May we ask God.
Dear Heavenly and beloved Father, I call upon your name to be with us now. And hear our hearts and our thoughts and our worries and our concerns, but also hear our prayers. As I hear the words of that song, I cling to Isaiah, where you say that all thy children should be taught of the word in righteousness and truth, and that no one from them before me yet will prosper. And through your word and through your prophet, we cling to that. And that should bring praise. And I bring praise to hear that Bernie and Dale's grandchildren have gone home. And we need to understand that your hand is upon everything. There are stumbling blocks, and I ask that you hear our sins and our confessions, that may you hear your Holy Spirit. And I ask that your word and your Holy Spirit can flow through us this day. And I ask for some quiet time that you can search our hearts, and that the petitions that are upon the people within can be heard by you. Heavenly Father, I also ask that your Holy Spirit petition before you with moans and groans that pass into understandings. So even when our minds just flows with thoughts and unconfessed sin or repeated sin or just confusion, guide us and have your Holy Spirit speak through you. And it is through the work of your Holy Spirit of life that the words of life are accomplished. Its purpose in human hearts and human minds. May God teach us that life-giving truth if we submit to Him, and He alone may be glorified. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now it's my privilege to introduce Megan. I figure I'm going to have to read this because there's quite a bit there. Sit, stay. I didn't give her the job to do. Hold on a second. Now, the first time I think I heard your name, if I get this right, because I get mixed up, is when Bob Davies was here.
That's right.
Right. And he asked to borrow my projector because you were doing Alpha over at...
The Crow's Nest, yes.
The Crow's Nest. I keep wanting to call it the pirate. Why would you do it in a restaurant?
Make it more accessible for people who are not churchgoers.
Well, that's probably why I don't teach the Crow's Nest. Anyways, what it says here is Megan's from South Africa. So is that a South African accent?
Yes.
I don't get all much. I probably would have thought that was Australian. It would have been one of those. And she moved to Canada in 97. And you're a mom of three. You look too young to be a mom of three. And there's spouses and a grandmother. Holy smokes. And you've been married to your husband, Don. Is he here?
No.
For 33 years, and she became known, or she knew Jesus at the age of 12. You really got your act together, because at 12 I was creating chaos while she commanded on. And the first one in her family to do so. And then she led Alpha courses, and oh, here it is, right? In home groups and churches along with Christian Baptist Church a year ago. There it is. That's where I saw it. She had led many Bible study groups and cell groups in her home and in her neighborhood. And she worked for 10 years as a rep in Life 100. And in 2014, she started transitioning into real estate. That's a big job. And today she is a realtor with Keller Williams, and she lives in Newark. Well, I welcome you, Megan, and we look forward to listening to your message.
Good morning, Christian Baptist Church. It is so nice to be back here again this morning. I go to Newmarket Community Church, and my pastor knows that I'm here this morning. I spoke to him yesterday about coming and asked for him to pray for me. My heart's desire is that I be an encouragement to you and an inspiration for you this morning, that the Holy Spirit would use me. You are precious to Jesus. He knows that you come here every week, and he notices you, and he loves you, and I believe that he has something for you this morning. I hope to be an encouragement to you. I chatted with Keith Daly on the phone, and he mentioned to me that he has started a series coming from the book of Acts. And so I have chosen to speak a topic from the book of Acts this morning and kind of dovetail in with what he's already been doing. So is that correct? Last time I came, I spoke on welcome. I came in September, and I was really pleased because I felt like something encouraged you last year. A number of people came up and welcomed me. A number of people came and shook my hand. So I thought, that's fantastic. But this morning I'm speaking from the book of Acts. Jesus often told stories. I believe that many of them were true stories. Some of them maybe were not, you know, non-fiction stories, or maybe fictional stories that he told to illustrate a point. But nevertheless, Jesus was a storyteller. And I am going to tell a couple of stories this morning. I'm also going to read a story, one of Luke's stories, from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, and then I'm going to draw out a couple of lessons from my story. First story I want to share with you is a true story. It happened in my mother's life about 3 years ago, and in fact, I phoned her in South Africa this morning to verify the story, to make sure that I relate the story accurately to you. So my mum and her husband Mick live in South Africa. I am South African. They chose to go up to Zimbabwe, which is the country north of South Africa, on a fishing trip. They rented a houseboat, and the plan was to spend a week on the houseboat and to take little tender boats, which are little like tinnies, out onto the water and fish during the day, and then at night go back onto the houseboat to sleep. Now, the thing that you need to know about Lake Kariba, which is a huge lake, really it's a dam on the Zambezi River, is that it is African wilderness. It is not like anything that we have here. It is wild. There is no civilization, so to speak. There is no development on the shorelines. This is a wild, untouched African wilderness. And anyway, she and Meg decided to go on this amazing fishing trip. And there are wild animals, and the water has a lot of crocodiles and hippopotamus, so it is wild. Anyway, one afternoon, they decided to go on a little bird-watching trip. There'd been massive thunderstorms that afternoon, and the sun was out, and the storms were clearing, and they decided to get into the little boat. There were three women, one man in the party, and the African skipper, who was using the little motor. So it's a small boat, a tinny. And they were sort of going along the reeds, looking at birds and enjoying the evening. And a little bit further away in the reeds, they noticed two eyes looking at them. And they thought, that looks like a crocodile. So being a little bit daring, they decided maybe they would go a little bit closer to see the crocodile. And I said to my mom, "Mummy, how big was the crocodile?" And she said to me, "It was very, very big. And the way you can tell the size of a crocodile is the distance from its eyes to its snout." And they estimate that this crocodile was probably 3 or 4 meters long. So probably 12 to 16 feet long, a huge crocodile. And anyway, they were in the weeds, and the motor of the engine got hooked up in the weeds and tangled. And unfortunately, the boat stalled. So the skipper leant over, and he pulled the boat motor out of the water to try and get the weeds off the propeller. And at that moment, the crocodile climbed up out of the water, and my mum said the whole boat was rocking. And she said she just knew in that instant it was the crocodile. She said it was so wild and frothing the water, she knew that it was the crocodile. And she knew that he had grabbed one of the friend's arms. His name is Dave Treadgold. And my mother, was the only Christian on the boat, stood up in the boat and she started to cry out and say, "Jesus, please help us. Please help us." And then she started to pray in tongues and to pray and to cry out to God for mercy and for help. And the crocodile was so violent. Just as a little aside, what crocodiles do is they catch their prey and then they twist themselves in the water like a propeller and they strangle and drown their prey. And she said she just cried out to God for mercy. And then she started to stand in the boat and she started to speak to the crocodile. And she started to say to the crocodile, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and I tell you to leave him right now in the name of Jesus." And the crocodile dropped Dave Treadgold. And Dave Treadgold was thrown into the boat. And she looked down and she saw his arm gone and 2 bones sticking out on his shirt. So his arm's gone. And he lay in the bottom of the boat, sweating and panting and going white. Now they put a tracksuit top around the wound, like a tourniquet to stop the blood. And he kept saying to my mother, "Val, you need to pray for me. I'm going to die. You need to pray for me. You need to pray for me." And she said, "Megan, I prayed for an hour that God would spare this man's life." And they were in the middle of nowhere. And anyway, they paddled the boat, because in this whole frantic affair, the motor fell off into the water and they had to paddle the boat to the shore. And as they were pulling up to the shore, the skipper was going to climb out of the boat and run down the shore to go and hail one of the fishing boats, the big houseboats. And as they got there, 2 hippopotamus ran out of the water. And I don't know if you know this, but hippos are actually more dangerous than any other African animal. They are huge. They're like the size of an elephant. You're not aware of it because they're in the water, but they're huge. So what did she, and then of course she's telling me this on Skype. And I said, "And then, Mommy, what did you do? What did you do?" And she said, "Megan, I did the only thing that I knew to do. It's what I had just done with the crocodile." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I stood up in the boat and I spoke to the hippos and I said, 'In the name of Jesus, go back in the water.'" And she spoke to the crocodiles in the name of Jesus and they went back in the water. Anyway, one thing led to another and that man was eventually airlifted out to a hospital in Bonaire and his life was spared. And he is still alive today. That story was so incredible to me when my mom told it to me. I remember saying to myself, what the morning my mom came back to Johannesburg in South Africa and we had just Skyped, I remember saying to her, "Lord Jesus, I have to tell somebody the story today. I have to tell somebody." And then I said something. I said, "Jesus, if you give me the opportunity, I promise I will speak." So I went on my day and I forgot about my prayer. And I went to a store on Main Street, a man who does reupholstery. And I had a lovely chat with him. I was talking about having my couch reupholstered. And I was just about to leave and I was walking out the door and I fell over a cushion. It's a decorating store. I fell over a cushion at the door. Made out of crocodile skin, like fake crocodile skin. And I could feel the Holy Spirit laugh. Not mock, laugh, chuckle, and go, "Okay, so now, Megan, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" So I walked back and I said to him, "Dave, I have a crocodile story for you. And I want you to call all the workers in the back of your store, and I want to tell you a story. So he gathered all the workers from the back of the store, and they stood around the counter, and I related the story just like I have just told you. Didn't lead anybody to Jesus, I just told the story. That's what a witness is, you just tell the story. I told the story and I left, and I could feel the joy of the Holy Spirit in my heart. So that's my first story. Okay, now I'm going to tell you another story. The next story is from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to read along. Listen to the story. Luke tells a story that he is familiar with. He's a witness. It's a story he's familiar with. I'm familiar with the crocodile story. He's telling a story, and this is his story. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Just as a little background to it, they had just healed a man in the name of Jesus who had been crippled. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Do you get the sense that this is a real story he's telling? He's telling a real account, just like I've told you of the crocodile. He's telling a real story. They had Peter and John brought before them and began questioning them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being asked to give an account today for the act of kindness showing to the cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man now stands before you healed. The stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note of these men, that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with him, there was nothing that they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to no longer speak to anyone in this name. Then they called them again and commanded them not to speak and teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight or obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years. Upon their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place that they were meeting in was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. I've got four key points that I want to draw out of these two stories. The first one is that Jesus' name is powerful. It is powerful. In fact, the skipper who was handed on to Dave Tregold as the crocodile, this massive crocodile, was holding on to him, said to my mom, "Granny, when I heard you pray and speak in the name of Jesus, I felt supernatural power come into my body, and I was able to hold that man in the boat." That man should not be here today. He should have been pulled into the water, and he should have been eaten. Not only that, there was a threat that the entire boat should have been capsized, and every person in the boat should have been eaten. But the man said, "I felt power surging through my body because of the name of Jesus." The cripple that was healed in Jerusalem was healed in the power of the name of Jesus. His name is powerful. It is not a name to be ashamed of. Life and power and healing and salvation come from Jesus alone. The disciples had spent the night in jail, and when they were brought before the leaders, they said, this is what they said, "Salvation is found in no one else, and no other name under heaven has been given to men by which we may be saved." We need to grasp it and let it fill our spirits so that we can live a life more effectively for Jesus. I'll never forget, I heard some little boys coming down the sidewalk outside my house, and I heard one of them blaspheme. And my heart was so grieved. And I walked outside, I got onto my knees, and I pulled all the kids around me, and I said to him, "This Jesus is my friend. He is wonderful. If you're ever in trouble, you can speak to him and ask him to help you. He will help you." And they all scuttled off down the road, saying nothing. We do not need to be afraid of this name of Jesus. When my children were little, they would call from the other bedroom, "Mommy, Mom, I had a nightmare. I'm having scary nightmares. I'm having scary dreams." What did I say to them? "Did you pray in the name of Jesus?" It wasn't that I wasn't going to comfort them. As I was training my children from the very earliest days of their lives, that Jesus' name is powerful, that they were to go to him first before they came to me. So I would say to them, "Guys, pray and ask Jesus to help you. Say to your nightmares, 'Nightmares, leave me in the name of Jesus.'" Do you know that my children never ever, not any or any of them, ever climbed into my bed because of nightmares? We need to equip our children to use that name of Jesus in their lives. This is a real thing we're teaching them. That's the first point. Second point I want to make is, we need to give credit where credit is due. Our stories come out of a heart of praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. We must give the credit in our lives to Jesus. Let me just read this verse, Acts 4, verse 10. They asked him who was responsible for healing the man, and they had been in prison. They had just spent the night in prison. They were intimidated. And what did they say? They said, "His name is Jesus of Nazareth." We want to make it clear who did this. Many times in your life, people will ask you, "What is it? How is it that you coped with a certain situation? What is it that happened in your life?" We must give the credit to who it belongs to. We must give the credit to Jesus. The third point is, we are not to be intimidated to be quiet and not use the name of Jesus. We live in a society where all around us there is incredible pressure to not use his name, to not give the credit to him. I notice that in our society, people are very willing to speak about God. They want to speak about God. They do speak about God. But I want to tell you something. A a room-clearing name is Jesus. It's a room-clearing name. Give the credit to who it belongs. I'll never forget, one of my neighbors had a mum who had just been admitted to hospice, and we had a little Bible study group going on our street, and we wrote this lady a letter, and we told her we were praying for her mother. And then, miraculously, her mother was released from hospice. People do not get released from hospice. You go to hospice for the last days of your life. You're never released from hospice, and her mother was released from hospice. And I went for a walk in the woods at Jokers Hill, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Megan, you are to go home, you are to go to your neighbor, and to tell her that it was Jesus who set her mother free from hospice and gave her life back and gave her more time. She went on to live 2 more years. And I went back to, and I knocked on my neighbor's door, and I said to her, I've come to tell you something. I've come to have a cup of tea with you. I've come to tell you who did this for your mother. And she said, it was the angels who did it. I said, no, it wasn't the angels who did it. She said, it was God. I said, yes, it was God, but his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus did this for your mother. And then she tried to tell me of all the other reasons why her mother, and I said, no, it is Jesus who has extended your mother's life. We need to give the credit to whom the credit belongs. We are not to be intimidated. In the story of my crocodile experience, do you know how easy it would be for me to tell that story and not mention Jesus? It's an amazing dinner party story. You could eat your leg of lamb and drink your glass of wine and tell the whole story about the crocodile and never mention Jesus once in that whole story. How the man arm was bitten off, and then he was airlifted, and then he, and then my mother. I could tell the whole story and I could just miss. Do you know how intimidated I was to not mention the name of Jesus? I could feel, even today when I tell that story, I can feel the intimidation. Don't mention his name. Don't mention his name. You don't want to look like a religious fanatic. Don't mention his name. But we need to be determined that we will mention his name, because he's the one that did it, and we need to give the credit to him. We need to be faithful witnesses. That's what a witness does. A witness gives an account for what has happened. You don't have to embellish the story. You don't have to change it. You just have to tell the story. The fourth point I want to make is, we are to partner with the Holy Spirit and make the most of every opportunity. If you look at the end of that passage that I read, in verse 31 it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who gave them the power. And then the rest of the sentence goes, and they spoke the word boldly. We have to speak. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to our world. He asks us to do it. I could easily have walked out of that store and stepped over that cushion and gone up the street. The Holy Spirit didn't force me. In fact, he didn't. But I had made a promise in the morning. I said to the Lord, if you give me the opportunity, I promise I will take it. And so I made a decision right then, okay? I will go and do what I promised. And I walked back inside and I spoke boldly. We are partnering with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us. But we need to do our part. We need to speak boldly. We need to give a defense when the opportunity arises. It is a partnership. And do you know how much joy I felt when I did that? I walked out of that store, I'm telling you, I could have been on 10 feet of air. The joy that filled my heart, because I did what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. He wouldn't have chastised me. He would have gone, you missed an opportunity. But he gave me joy. Full of joy. We have so many opportunities that come our way. I want to tell you guys, when I was a young Christian, I would say, Jesus, give me an opportunity to speak about you. Give me an opportunity to speak about you. Every day, give me an opportunity to speak about you. And one day I had a revelation. My goodness, we've got them everywhere. Every day of our lives, we have opportunities. Every day of our lives, they come into our life. There was a little girl on my street, 11 years old, who started to come to my door and say she wanted to take my dog for a walk. So she started to take my dog for a walk every day. And this happened last year. And I noticed she was coming every day. And then one day I woke up and I went, hey, Megan, she's not interested in your dog. She wants to spend time with you. So I invited her for a cup of tea. Do you know that she came to see me every day for a year on my deck for a cup of tea? This is here in Newmarket. I thought, oh my goodness, her mother doesn't know where she is. Her mother, I'm entertaining this child that this mother needs to know. So I went and met the mother and I said, my name is Megan and your daughter is coming to visit me every day and you need to know that she's having tea with me and I don't want you to think that I'm doing anything wrong. And she said, oh my goodness, you just have a cup of tea with her. So I'm okay, and do you know that for a whole year I told her about Jesus? Every day she came. I checked it out with the mother. I said, are you sure? And mother said, it's fine. This is a big house in Glenway. This child is on the streets every day. Every day I'm going, this made me frantic. I thought this child is out and about going into people's homes. And then I went, oh my goodness, Megan, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. Take it. So every day I made her tea. And we sat on my deck and we talked about Jesus. Do you know the opportunity came? She came to me for a whole year. Her parents moved. And the opportunity's gone. Her parents have moved to Aurelia and I've never spoken to her again. We have the opportunities. One day, my neighbor leans over my fence and she says to me, I don't get you, Megan. I watched you. I've watched you. You grew up in a warm climate and yet you're happy. You're happy here in Newmarket. And you don't seem to be bothered about the cold. And how is that? I'm going, oh my goodness, it's been handed to me on a silver platter. Here it is. I want to tell you something, Alina. Do you want to know what's going on in my life? We have opportunities. People are asking us. Do not come to the conclusion in your life that people don't want to hear. People want to hear. There are many that don't care. There are many people that don't want to know, but there are many people who do want to know. They've never heard about Jesus. They're not hearing about him in the schools. They're not hearing about him in the public square. But they want to know. They want to have meaning in their lives. And it's us that are going to tell them. So what's your story? What's your story? What has Jesus done for you? What has he done for you? Has he set you free from anxiety or fear? Has he helped you restore a relationship? Has he helped you with a wayward child? Has he helped you with a sickness? Did he heal you of something? Did he help you with a parent? Did he help you walk through a road of forgiveness? Has he given you peace? Those are your stories. You need to take time today and you need to write down, what are your stories? What's my story? Megan's got a story about a crocodile. What's my story? What story am I going to tell? I want to tell you that I'm an immigrant and I came to Canada. And do you know how many times people ask me, how did you settle in Canada? How did you come to be in Canada? How come you're happy in Canada? And it's, oh my goodness, it's my story. I just tell it again and again about Jesus working my life and how he led me and how he helps me. It's my story. I have a son who has ADD. He was only diagnosed with ADD in his late teens, into his 20s at university, nearly lost one of his years at university. It was not easy being his mom. Here's my story. People, Megan, how did you cope? How did you do it? How did you raise him? How did you do it? I go, you want to hear my story? I've got a story. I prayed for him. His Jewish bosses came to me and said to me, he's a phenomenal worker. He's a phenomenal, we're going to make him a partner of the company. But we want to know how you did it as a mother. And I'm going, do you want to hear my story? I prayed for him. I prayed for him. I believe that God is in his life and I prayed for him. So what's your story? What is your story? I had a difficult father. gospel. I did not grow up in a Christian home. First person to believe in Jesus in my family. That's my story. People ask me, Megan, how did you get reconciled with your father? How did you sort that all out? I go, do you want to hear my story? I can tell my story. I know it. And I'm saying to you guys this morning, know your story. Rehearse it. Know it. Say it in front of the mirror. And be ready to tell people your story. Be ready to tell them. You have opportunities to be given to you every day. So it starts with a plan. Plan to do it every day. Give your life to Jesus and plan to be a witness. Jesus, I give you my day. I give you my Monday. I give you my Tuesday. Give me an opportunity to speak of you today, to tell people what you've done in my life. And then you'll see an opportunity will come. You have a choice. He won't force you. You have a choice. You can decide to leave it. You can decide to take it. Joy will follow. And growth in your personal life will follow. You want to grow as a Christian? You want to go to the next level as a Christian? Do this. And you will see. There will be a light, a fire underneath you, and you will be like a rocket. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good
day. Hey, Jake. Guess we think about what I have to go home and think about. Anyways, I love your passion. Again, thanks, Megan. And leave here today knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in everything, and He watches all our actions and all our deeds. So let us think about our story. And let's go in peace and know the Holy Spirit leads us. In Jesus' name we pray.